Well, I'm not in heaven. We are not in heaven. We're still here laboring on earth. Lots of work to be done. But it's a joy to be here with you today. I am still the same guy that's in that magazine. Some of you have seen it, the Briargate Pine Creek magazine. It's right there. So there's a lot more detail there than it's worth knowing about us. But just pray that God will use that magazine as our testimony to the community, because it does give a lot of details concerning our journey of faith and how God has led us as pilgrims progress in this world of ours. So it's good to be here again with you today. And I have been busy this week, especially Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You know what I was busy with? I was doing my tax returns. For most of the time, I have been doing my own. It's not that I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, and I send it off by faith. Let them make all the corrections and let me know, and then I comply with them. Many years ago, I even called Randy Chappelle for some advice, you know, and he kind of made me know that it's very difficult to understand this IRS stuff, you know. And when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, I was audited once. I was called to the tax office and spent an hour or two with the tax officer. I had all my receipts with me, and he tallied them and all of that. And at the end, I found out that the IRS owed me some more money. So it was worth going there. Yes. And this subject of paying taxes reminded me of the New Testament story of Jesus, and how the Pharisees and the Herodians questioned him about the legitimacy of paying taxes to Caesar. So in that story, there are two parts to the story, but let me read the story for us to refresh our memories. The story is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. It reads thus: "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent out to him their disciples along with the Herodians, saying, 'Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?' But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, 'Why test ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money.' And they brought unto him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose is the image and superscription?' And they say unto him, 'Caesar's.' Then said Jesus to them, 'Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.' When they heard these words, they marveled and left them and went their way." This is the inspired word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. So two parts to this story. First of all, we have the problem. And secondly, we have the principle. The problem first. The problem posed here is by these people. Who are these people? They are identified as Pharisees teaming up with the Herodians. The Pharisees were the conservative group, the fundamentalists of those days. And the Zealots were the extreme among the Pharisees, and they were the anti-Romans against the government. And then they teamed up with the Herodians, and the Herodians were the party of Herod, and they were pro-Roman. Okay, those two get together. What was their purpose? Opposition against Jesus. Jesus attacked them earlier on. He indicted them for their recalcitrance in not responding and accepting his message. He delivered three parables against their resistance of his message. The first parable was the parable of the two sons, and the Pharisees and the Jews behaved like the first son, who was supposed to go out of the vineyard and work, and then did not do it. The second parable was the parable about the vineyard and how it was leased to tenants, and these tenants failed to deliver. And the Jews were compared to these tenants who failed to respond to God's message in Christ. And the third parable was that of the wedding feast. And the Pharisees were compared to those who were invited who refused to come and reject the invitation of the king to the wedding of the son. And so we find that the Pharisees were angry. You know, three parables level against them. And so they were out to destroy Jesus. It was a retaliatory type of attack against Jesus to discredit him and to destroy his ministry and his message. And what was their plan? The plan was well conceived. It says in verse 15, they took counsel as to how they might entangle him in his words. So they gave much thought and preparation as to how they might approach it. They even asked the Herodians to join them in their plot to attack Jesus. So it was a devious approach on their part to entangle Jesus. And they use flattery to achieve their purpose, to flatter him, to disarm him, to build him up for a big fat fall on their mind. And so we read in verse 16b, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. You're telling Jesus that you're true, you're teaching God's way. And all of that time they're just lying, you know, to their mouth. Yes, you don't care for anybody. You're not swayed by other people, and you're no respecter of person. That all sounded good. And then their destructive approach approaches. And Jesus perceives their evil intention. And Jesus then, he says to them, why test ye me, ye hypocrites? Jesus perceived their wickedness. They were out to get him, to test him, to discredit him, and to destroy him. And what was the problem they had in mind that they're going to bring to Jesus? Well, here is the test question in verse 17. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So the issue here has to be with paying taxes. There are three kinds of taxes in those days. There is the land and the ground tax that farmers would pay, 10% of their produce, and this is not that. There is also the income tax, or your income, 1% of the wages. But then there is a third kind of tax, which is the poll tax. The poll tax is the tax assessed for just being alive and living. You have to pay tax to be alive. Yes. And that was 1 denarius a person. For men ages 14 to 65. And after that you have to die, I guess. And for women from ages 12 to 65. So it's the poll tax. And it's a loaded and a charged question. It's a trick question. The question is worded in such a way that it demands an answer. Yes or no. You got to answer it. It's like in court cases, you know, and in hearings. Yes or no. And the intent is you incriminate yourself. You cannot explain yourself. Whether yes, you're stuck. Whether no, you're stuck. So yes or no, you know, is it lawful to pay tax, the poll tax, to Caesar? If Jesus said yes, it means trouble with the Pharisees, and especially the zealots. They'll be up in arms because they are against that. If you say no, it means trouble with the Herodians. That's why they brought the Herodians. Either way you answer, Jesus then incriminates himself. So here we find then the time has come to pronounce the principle involved. So Jesus responds to the Jews' question, having diagnosed the evil desire and intent. Jesus Christ responds with kingdom principles. And the approach he uses is the show and tell approach. Yes. We read in verse 19, show me the tribute money. And so they bring to him this tribute money. Okay. And the tribute money is the denarius. And Jesus asks, whose image is in this denarius? You see, the denarius was the wage of a common laborer for one day. You work for one day, you get a denarius. And the poll tax was simply this denarius. And Jesus asked them, whose image and superscription is on this coin, this silver Roman coin? And we find that in this denarius, we have basically the image of the laureled head of the Emperor Tiberius Caesar. And he is mentioned in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. When Tiberius Caesar was the emperor, John the Baptist began his ministry of baptizing and calling people to repentance. So here is the image of Tiberius Caesar, and the superscription written there is Tiberius Caesar, majestic son of the divine Augustus, Pontifex Maximus. That's the inscription that is there. And so we find that here we find Jesus is talking about the principle of reciprocity in human relationships. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Coinage in those days was the evidence of one's kingdom. Reigning kings minted their own coins to demonstrate their authority and kingship. So the coinage was the property of the king whose image it bore. So Caesar's coin represents the Roman organization, the security that is guaranteed for every person and property, the facility for transport and for transit, a stable government, the Roman government, the Roman peace, the Pax Romana, and Roman justice. All of this is guaranteed by the king, the emperor of Rome. So then you give back to Rome what you have received from Rome. That's the principle of reciprocity, reciprocal giving and receiving. The government gives, the citizens receive, and they also give back. So Jesus says, render, give back what is owed. And so that is the poll tax. And this is also the principle of good citizenship. And this is implied by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a good citizen when you are a tax-paying citizen. So it goes with the words of Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, to be subject to the higher powers. And Peter repeats that also in First Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, quote, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God. And so I assume that converted tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus, they were obviously good, upright citizens. Not only did they pay their own taxes, but they collected for the government itself. So that's giving back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. The second part of Christ's response is, you give back to God what belongs to God. Think about it. You give back to God what belongs to God. This has profound consequences for our lives. What belongs to God? Come to think of it, every blessed thing belongs to God. We begin in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham came back from the victory against the five kings. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, came to meet him and to congratulate him. And he is identified as God, who he is the priest of the Most High God. The Most High God, El Elyon. And the Most High God is identified as the possessor of heaven and earth. So that's the general statement right there in Genesis 14. It becomes more specific in Psalm 24 and verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, everything in it. The world, it means the plants and all of that, and all they who dwell therein, all living things like human beings and animals. God founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the floods. Specifically, the earth. Everything that is on the earth belongs to God. And to become more specific, man belongs to God. Why? By creation. When God created man, he made him in his own image. Whose image is imprinted in man? God's image. So just as Caesar's image was on his coin, and the coin belongs to him, so we belong to God because God's image is imprinted in each one of us. So by design, through creation, we belong to God. But then more than that, we find that we belong to God because of redemption. We strayed from God. We pulled ourselves from God by our disobedience, but we find that God has bought us back, redeemed, redemption through the blood and the death of his own beloved Son. So we have been brought back to God. We belong to God because of creation. We belong to God because of recreation, because of redemption. And so, how do we apply this in our lives? My life then rightfully belongs to God. As Fanny Crosby's hymn says, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee." And because I rightfully belong to God, I need then, in some deliberate way, give my whole life back to God. So we render to God what belongs to God. I render myself to God. And so the second verse of that song goes on to say, "Consecrate me, Lord, to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." What are some specific examples of giving back what belongs to God? Well, one obvious thing is worship. Worship belongs to God, to Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ himself said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." But how many times it becomes self-worship, worship our jobs, worship other things, and we don't really worship God. So worship belongs to him. And so we come here on Sunday to do what? Specifically, deliberately, corporately, to worship God, to sing praises, to pray to him, to hear his word, and to respond to him. Sunday belongs to God. Did you know that? It's called the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. It is set apart for God, not to do work and other stuff. We got 6 days to do that. So the seventh day is set apart for the Lord. And did you remember that the tithe belongs to the Lord? Yes. Malachi chapter 3 talks about robbing God by withholding that 10% that belongs to God. And you know what? The rest of the 90% still belongs to God, and we should be spending it the way we feel God is directing us to spend what we have wisely. We are stewards only of all that God has given to us. So be good stewards of all that belongs to God in our lives. And then when we read Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it's immense there. "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and reasonable and perfect will of God." What belongs to God? My body belongs to God. That has immense consequences as to how we treat our bodies. We need to take care of it and make sure that we're doing the best to treat it in a healthy way and to eat the right things. Yes. God have mercy. Yeah. Our bodies belong to him. Yeah. And what have we been doing today with our bodies? Singing to the Lord, yeah. Raising our hands, yeah. Yes, some of us dance also before the Lord, using our bodies that God has given to us to honor Him. Yes, to serve Him, our minds and our will. They all belong to God. And so we find for some people, when God begins to convict them and speak to them about their whole lives belonging to God, there comes a moment in their lives where there is a crisis, a spiritual crisis, in which they experience this matter of sanctification in their lives, dedicating their whole life to God, to follow Him all the way. But for us here today, this idea of giving back to God becomes a daily devotional experience in our own lives. When we read the Word of God, say, God, speak to me. Where have I gone wrong? How can I better serve you with my mind, body, and spirit, and will? So that becomes our daily devotional exercises to give it all back to God. Here is a song, a wonderful song, written by Hudson Vandy Venter, whose life and ministry really impacted even Dr. Billy Graham. He wrote the song, I Surrender All. And the first verse says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. Jumping to verse 3. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Yes, render unto God the things that belong to God. So help us, Lord, to be reminded of this always in our daily walk with You, that we and everything we own belong to You, and we need to surrender it day by day into Your hands. Have mercy upon us and help us even this day. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you so much.